Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Calder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. God's judgment is upon us. Will we repent? That's the question. If you've been watching the news and have been bewildered by what's going on, the things that are taking place in America, in our cities, and overseas in Afghanistan, the things that are taking place with those who used to be our allies and now they're turning out to be our enemies. What is going on? God is judging this nation, and He's judging us now. But you wouldn't know about it because most people do not know who are we in prophecy. Now, we have a book to answer that question. America and Britain, two nations that changed the world, their biblical origin and their prophetic destiny. And it's true. We have been a great nation blessed of God and under God. And it's true. Our Constitution was one of the best ever written because it was based upon Christian principles and things that are found in the Bible. And that made us great. And the greatest thing that made us great was the blessing of Abraham, because when you get this book, you will see that America and Britain are some of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Now, the Jews claim that the 10 tribes were all absorbed into the Gentiles. That is a fantasy by the Jews, so they can claim all the promises that belong to the 12 tribes to their one tribe. So you need to get this book, and you need to understand why Christianity has prospered in America and why it is now not prospering in America the way that it should. And it's all because God's judgment is upon us actively now. So let's come to Jeremiah 7. Let's see what God told Jeremiah. Now remember, Jeremiah was a prophet of God, and he started out as a young man, probably 18 years old, and he had a 40-year ministry. And he had to see the whole nation of Judah and Jerusalem go down into the depths of sin and captivity and exile into Babylon. And he saw everything that went wrong, everything that you could imagine under the sun. Let's look at some of it. Let's come here to Jeremiah 7. Now, as I read this, I want you to think about your community, where you live, your city, your state, your country, whatever it is, because this applies to anyone, anywhere. But when Jeremiah's ministry was, it applied to the Jews, and he was a priest. So he had direct access to the temple of God. And here's what God told him. And so this is why we're covering these things now, because the same message needs to go to the descendants of the children of Israel today, which are America and Britain and Northwestern Europe, as well as the Jews, all 12 tribes. So let's come to Jeremiah 7, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, right there where God's presence was, the temple designed by God Himself, and the plans given to David for Solomon to build it. An amazing thing. And we'll see how corrupted it got. And look at our nation today. It's in exactly the same condition of corruption and yet blindness to their own sins, that they can't see the magnitude of what's going on. They told him, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this word and say. So God says, cry aloud and spare not, and show my people their sins. And that's what we also do at church at home. because that's restoring original Christianity and the Word of God and putting it into perspective of what it is today and how these things apply to us today as well. So here's what he was to say. Hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who enter in at the gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. First thing he calls for is repentance. Change what you're doing. Stop your sinning. And I will cause you to dwell in this place. We're hanging at that same point right now in America. How soon before we really fall? Huh? Because it's coming. And it's going to come like tsunami waves that is going to be beyond belief. So he says, repent now. So here's what they need to repent of. Do not trust in lying words. Don't believe those lying Sunday-keeping preachers. They may read some of the scriptures. They may even call people to repent, but their call to repentance is worthless unless they tell people to keep the Sabbath and the holy days of God. Continuing, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. And isn't that what they say? Oh, we're Christians, we're evangelicals, and when the tribulation comes, oh, hallelujah, the secret rapture is going to take place and we're going to escape. Will never happen. If you believe that, you believe one of the biggest lies ever perpetrated by church leaders. Verse 5, for if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, thoroughly, not a little dabbing here and there, not confessing of a little sin over here or over there, but over the big sin. The big sins of breaking the Sabbath and breaking the holy days and living lies and going after entertainment. Going after all the things that are not right. If you will thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor and even up to the Supreme Court, there is misjudgment. There are still people rotting in solitary confinement from January 6th. So think on that. That's not judgment. That's not righteousness. Continuing, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place. And the innocent blood is the innocence of the unborn. And think about that, all you women out there who have women slip and say, oh, it's my body. It's my body. No, it's not. It's a new body within your body from God. But no, you want your pleasures, you want your sex, you want your success in this world, so you go have an abortion and have it ripped out of your womb. Nor walk after other gods to your hurt. Now that means all who believe in witchcraft, all who believe in Buddha, all who believe in Islam, all who believe in Catholicism, those are all other God. There is one true God, and that's in the Bible. And people need to get back to the Bible, truly, not just the parts they agree with, but the whole Bible, every word of it. So God says this, because God always gives warning. And right now we're hanging right on the precipice of terrible things to happen worse than what you've seen yet. He says, if you do repent, verse 7, then I will cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. So it's a choice. Will you do it? Will your family do it? Will your church do it? Will your church pastor do it? Will those who are in charge of Planned Parenthood repent? And those who work there repent? Those are the questions. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. All the ways of man are lying words that can't profit. Verse 9, will you steal and murder and commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense to Baal and walk after other gods whom you do not know? What is your God? What do you spend your life at? Huh? Who do you worship? Do you worship God in spirit and in truth? Do you keep his Sabbath day holy as he is commanded? Do you keep his holy days as he is commanded? Or do you keep Christmas, Sunday, Easter, New Year's, and all of that? Those are all days of Baal. If you do that, he says, and then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, saying, we are delivered to do all of these abominations. You cannot. There are even some women who say that abortion is like a ritual. Can you imagine that? Let's go on. Verse 11. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Look at the whole nation. Look at all of those who are profiting because of the corruption coming out of Washington, D.C. Behold, now listen to this. Because God hasn't taken action or very much action yet, doesn't mean he's not going to, because notice this. Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. So he knows. Now let's come to Jeremiah 18. Let's see how God does this. We will see God gives warning. And what I'm giving you is a warning. A warning from the Word of God, the true God who does not lie. And he means business. Not a sanctimonious, weak-kneed Jesus who couldn't do a thing except weep and cry in his little weakness. Jesus Christ is the Lord God of the Old Testament in power and in strength and in truth and in righteousness. Jeremiah 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was working at his wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was ruined in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, now I want you to get this book, America and Britain in Prophecy, because you will not understand prophecy in the Old Testament relating to the modern nations of Israel today if you don't get this book and read it. O house of Israel, put the name America there. Put the name Britain there. Put the name of any nation in northwestern Europe there. O house of Israel, can I not do with you even as this potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So people think, well, I'm a free will agent. I don't have to believe in God. And everything's going to work out just fine. Well, if that's so, why is it so miserable? We are just like clay in the Lord's hand. Think about that. Now notice what he says, verse 7. If at any time I shall speak concerning a nation, because he judges nations, doesn't he? And concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, to destroy it. And we're right now in the process of those three steps. Pluck it up, pull it down, and destroy it. And unless there's repentance, it's going to happen. Just as sure as there is gravity, and just as sure as there is day and night, and just as sure as there is the heaven and the earth, the living God is going to bring it about, because he will not be mocked by people who think that they know more than God. Verse 8, if that nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. He will pull back his hand and stop the evil. We're right now at the point, if there will be repentance, God will pull back his hand. But if there is not repentance, destruction is coming, and it's all set. Everything is set in motion now, with the immigration, with the sickness, with the disease, with the problems that we have, with crime. It's all set to destroy. And with the government that we have in Washington, D.C., and many of the states in America, it's set to destroy. So unless you repent, and unless you get with your friends and neighbors, and unless you get serious before God, you are going to see the worst things take place that you thought you would never see in America. Now, verse 9, if at any time I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build it and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, that it not obey my voice, then I will repent of the good which I said I would do them good. So, there's the choice for us. What is your choice? So let's finish this by the next verse. Because God is actively doing this and has been doing it for some time. And all of those of you out there who are the evangelicals and the so-called good Sunday-keeping Christians, you better repent of Sunday-keeping like it is the bubonic plague. Because it is. Verse 11, now therefore speak to the men of Judah and say to the people of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm forming evil against you and devising a plan against you. He's actively doing it now, right at this very time. Right in the very minutes I'm speaking to you, and you are hearing it and listening to it and watching it. God is planning. Behold, I'm forming evil against you and devising a plan. Return now, each one from his evil way. Every person repent to God directly. You do that by getting on your knees, and you do that by crying out to God. And you do that by looking at the Word of God. And you do that by looking at the Ten Commandments and start keeping them. Because Jesus said, if you love me, and a lot of you out there say you love God, but he said this, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. And yet the preachers have the audacity to say that you don't need to keep the commandments of God. That's the very reason the judgment is coming upon us right now the way that it is, because they have abandoned God. They are flattering God by using his name, but denying God because they do not obey him. Do you think you can do anything to receive the blessing of God if you don't obey him? If you don't keep his commandments? What do you think? You think God gives you the right to change his law, which he has spoken himself? You got another thought coming. Let's look at the only case of national repentance in the whole Bible. Let's come to the book of Jonah. Now, God chose Jonah to go to the Ninevites, that is, the Assyrians, and the city of Nineveh was the capital city. And so he had a little argument with God, so Jonah had to learn something. He said, you know, if I go, they'll repent. So why should I go? Well, God said, you go. Well, he didn't want to go. So he got on the ship, and then God caused a storm, and all of the people running the ship, they got together, and they found out that Jonah was the one that was causing the storm because God wanted him out of that boat. So they cast him over the side of the boat, and he was swallowed by a whale and was 3 days and three nights going from there up to the northern part of where Nineveh was. And the whale came up on the beach and spit him out. There he was. Jonah chapter 3, here's what God said. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out to it the proclamation that I am declaring to you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord, and Nineveh was a very great city, a 3 days' journey across. Jonah began to enter the city, a day's journey, and cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I want you to stop and think. How many of you out there believe what I am saying to you from the word of God and truth? Huh? And what are you going to do about it? Well, the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. They knew that God meant business. Do you understand that God means business? Will you truly, truly, truly repent? Or are you going to continue playing religion and thinking you're a good Christian when you are not? Verse 6, for the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He laid aside his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Even the king, the leader, this is what needs to happen in Washington, D.C., all of them need to get together and repent and put on sackcloth and ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his great one, saying, do not let man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything, and do not let them feed nor drink water. But let man and animal be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God, and let each one turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Now, will that happen? Will it happen with you because you hear it? Will it happen by the leaders in America because they hear it? No, they won't hear it because they look upon those who proclaim the truth of God as kooks and freaks. So here's what the king said. Who knows? God may repent and he may have pity and turn away his fierce anger so that we do not perish. God knew it. God saw it. So what is God going to see in your life? What is God going to see in your family? What is God going to see in your church? What is God going to see in your state, in your government? Is he going to see the same glad-handing, corrupt business of government that is destroying America? Or is he going to see repentance? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. And history shows that he delayed his judgment 120 years because of this. Now, what's going to happen in your life, in America? Who will you believe? You get our book, American Britain, and that'll tell you who we are. And you get our book, Why Christianity is Failing. And our book, Lord, What Should I Do? That shows what you need to do in repentance and prayer to God. We're not down to denominational arguments. We are down to the Word of God or not. And we're down to what we are going to do before God. Are we going to recognize our sins and repent? Or are we going to flatter God by telling him, oh, we love your grace and you're so good? Yes, he is, but his fury is against you because you're disobedient, lawless people who don't keep the laws and commandments of God. So I know these are tough words, and I know some people will not like it, and I know some people will turn it off because they can't stand it, simply because they don't want to face the truth in their own life. But what about you? What will you do? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.